Hey there, writer, and welcome back to the How to Write a Book podcast. If you are listening to me today, hello, welcome. It is April, April 1st to be exact, and I'm very happy that you're here. Thank you for being part of this place, this community, where we get to share our inspiration and our want, our need, our desire, our passion for writing. And I'm really glad that you get to join me today. We are getting really close to episode 250, y'all. So I'm excited. Like, wow, we've been doing this forever. I believe we started in 2017, 2018. I think it's 2017 is when I really actually opened up the show. So for anyone who has been here that long, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here. Just to give you all some life updates, I don't know if I actually told everyone that I got married. Yay! Yes. So I can hear you saying, "Oh my gosh, yes, I did. I totally did." Got my then fiance and said, "We're gonna get hitched," and he was like, "All right." So we did. It was really exciting. It was really nice. And I'm really close to finishing the Author Accelerator book coaching program. I am on the third of and final part, which deals with agents and how to understand the marketplace. And it's been really cool. So I'm hoping that if that practicum goes in smoothly, then I can be an Author Accelerator certified book coach. So y'all just keep me in your thoughts and prayers as we send that off. But it's very exciting news. So happy April Fool's Day. And if you are celebrating, make sure to just take a moment and say, you know what? I can have fun today. I can have fun in life. I can just enjoy or have a laugh with some of my friends. So let's go ahead and talk about our guest in this episode, Pat Wetzel, the author of Bump of the Road and also podcast host of Bump of the Road. She had a really very cool book, 15 Inspirational Stories, that we'll talk about more inside the episode. And what I liked the most about Pat is it's a very, like, I think a foundational concept to say sometimes life has a bump in the road. And I think sometimes we overlook such a simplified concept. And maybe because we think it's easy to understand, therefore it's easy to overcome. But then life happens and we forget how complicated life can be. And I think sometimes we think, oh, well, it's so easy. I don't have to think about it or worry about it or talk about it or share it because it's too easy or it's too simplified. But I think what Pat does so beautifully is that she shares these moments, she shares these thoughts, and it's a wonderful moment to sit with yourself and pause and say, you know what, this is going to be a bump in the road, and how am I going to navigate this? So, really inspirational stuff we have here. Thank you so much for joining us here on the show, and let's go ahead and dive in.
Welcome to the How to Write a Book podcast, the show that helps you plan, write, and publish your book, even if you're a beginner or just feel like one. Now, for your host, she's written over a dozen books and helps others bring their books to life. Here she is, Maciel.
All right. And welcome back to the How to Write a Book podcast. Thank you so much for being here, Pat Wetzel. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, we just had a, I wouldn't say thunderstorm, but it was very, very rainy in Los Angeles. How about where you're at?
I'm in northern Arizona, and I think we're part of the same weather system that flooded San Diego. We're not getting flooded, but I'm up in Prescott, which is about an hour and a half, 2 hours north of Phoenix, up in the mountains. And we're definitely getting some much needed rain. So that's good.
Much needed. I love that. Exactly. We definitely needed it over here. So thank you so much, Pat Wetzel, for joining us on the show today. Everyone, Pat Wetzel is the author of Bump in the Road, 15 Stories of Courage, Hope, and Resilience, as well as podcast host of Bump in the Road. Pat, would you go ahead and, I know I haven't done you justice, please introduce yourself to our audience.
Well, I'm Pat Wetzel. I'm the creator of Bump in the Road. You can find it on all major podcast platforms, YouTube. But the best place to start is bumpintheroad.us. Bumpintheroad.us. I started the podcast because I hit a bump in the road. COVID, I had a film project that was ready to roll, and COVID came along, and it was travel-based, and travel shut everything down. So after a few weeks of just being incredibly depressed over losing all the money associated with it, all the time and everything else, I decided to start a podcast, and the idea of bump in the road just seemed so totally relevant. That is what I called it. And about a year and a half into the doing the podcast, it's on its fourth year now, I was just overwhelmed by the stories that my guests told. They told such incredible stories of personal resilience and courage and hope. And I realized they just had to be put into a book. So that's how Bump of the Road, the first bump book, Bump of the Road, 15 Stories of Courage, Hope, and Resilience came to be. And the next book will be Bump of the Road, Strong Women. And they're all based on my guests from my podcast.
Wow, that's lovely. So they are real stories about real people going through real hard things, right?
Oh, yeah. And how they manage and navigate it. And I'm fascinated by it because nobody gives us a roadmap. Nobody gives us this sort of wisdom, this deep inherent human wisdom that we really need to navigate our lives. And I think stories are a great way to share the ups and downs that we all experience and the ways we manage them.
That is so true. I mean, that's been true for, I mean, hundreds of thousands of years. I mean, just how we share stories about, you know, don't go near the big bad wolf. Stories like this help us to navigate when we hit those bumps in the road. That's beautiful. So you're kind of going, I'd love to know how the seed of this idea happened. You know, so you are inside your podcast, you're navigating your own bump. Was there a clincher moment that you're like, this story is going to help me create this book? Or was it a person? Or was something somebody said that inspired you to write the book?
No, it was a culmination of things. I'd heard so many amazing stories that inspired me and brought me to tears. So I thought, you know, it would do the same for others. And you can listen to the podcast. But the reality is, as a host, I have a 30,000-foot view on things. I hear and see everybody's story. So that puts me in a position of pulling out specific commonalities and pieces of wisdom that are common to all of us. And that really motivated me to put the book together because these stories were just so amazing. And I hope in each story, people find some piece of wisdom that is relevant to their lives.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. So would you mind giving us a little bit of a taste? You know, maybe what is the, and I'm sure it's hard to compare your children, right? What's one story that maybe you're like, oh, if you guys get this book, this definitely recheck out this story or maybe this and this story that really pop out to you.
Well, they're all so good and they deal with different things. They may deal with identity, with parenthood. One that certainly always stands out is one of the most inspirational people I've ever met, Eric Weinmayer. Eric went blind when he was 16. So you can imagine losing your sight at that age and the anger and the rage and the isolation and everything that you go through, you know, with an event like that. Well, Eric went on to climb Mount Everest.
What?
Yeah, climbed the seven summits, and he kayaked down the Colorado River Rapids. And he formed a not-for-profit called No Barriers. I think it's nobarriersusa.org is the URL. And it's one of the most inspiring not-for-profits I've ever seen. If you're looking, you know, for something to support, that is it. Or it could be one of them anyway. But Eric tells a great story. And his story has always stuck with me because it really pinpoints my fascination with people's stories. He divides the world into three groups, okay? The groups are fluid. We've all been in each of them, and we move through them over time. One group are quitters who are self-evident. One group are campers who want to maintain the status quo no matter what. They do not want change. But excuse me, in all fairness to campers, they may be so beaten up by life that they just do not want to put their head outside the foxhole anymore. Then very few people are climbers. Now, climbers can be campers because being a climber all the time would be too exhausting. You need to eat ice cream and watch Netflix on occasion, you know, whatever it is. But I really like that story because I think that once you've had the experience of being a climber in some facet of your life, you realize that is where you want to live, and that is where you live a realized life. And I'm fascinated. We in speaking about this, I've spoken about it with many people, and almost all of us have come to the conclusion that most people are campers. And I want to know why. What is it that takes somebody or motivates somebody to move from being a camper to a climber? Because a climber is where you're living your life. Life is far too precious not to take those chances and have those experiences, win or lose. You know, I don't think there's any loss in experience ever, actually. Why do some people manage to live that life of curiosity and courage and others run away from it?
Wow. Oh, that's beautiful. That's brilliant. That's honestly a perfect segue into some of my next questions. You know, when it comes to writing a book, when it comes to facing a book, I mean, it can be extremely challenging emotionally, mentally. You know, you look at the blank page and you think, you know, should I be writing this? What gives me the right to write this? I'm curious, did you ever see those kinds of themes? You know, you have some amazing people on your show, and that same reflection happening on like book publishing, book writing, you know, people who they camp out when writing their books and those who climb when they're writing their books.
Oh, it's so, I think writing is so individual. And I think ultimately people have some experience of being a climber because you have to push through a lot and you just have to persevere. And then once you have the book done, it's 10% writing and 90% marketing. So you don't really even know what you're getting into. But I think for me, the hardest part of writing a book, there are two things that were really hard. One was I started off with 30 stories. I could have had 50.
Oh, wow.
I had to weed them down. I got rid of half the book. That was the step number one that was rather difficult. The other one, interestingly, came when it was time to ask for endorsements. And I really just froze. And I was just terrified. And I'd interviewed Jill Bolte Taylor, the Harvard psychologist who had the stroke and did my stroke of insight on TED. He put TED on the map, and she has two books out. Anyway, I interviewed her, and her new book is Whole Brain Living. And in that, she actually gives you a methodology for dealing with your fears and doubts. And I used her methodology, and I realized I was afraid of rejection. And it took me about a week or so to really work through it. I finally sent out the emails, you know, for the endorsements, thinking, oh, nobody's going to reply. They're going to be terrible. I won't look at them. And they came back, and they were beautiful. They were just wonderful. But that was a big stumbling block for me, actually, in terms of getting the book out.
Oh, wow. And I know that a lot of people would resonate with that, you know, because when you're writing a book, that can be a pathway for rejection. Maybe people won't like it. You know, when you're pitching a book to a publisher, also another pathway of rejection. Yeah. That's awesome. So you took, you know, that like TED talk and that mentality, and you said, what was the new thought for you? Was it like, I embrace rejection, or was it like, you know, I will face rejection, but I'll keep moving forward. I'll survive. What was that new thought?
No, actually, Jill's methodology is really deep. It's very impressive. Very briefly, and I'm not going to do this justice. She divides the brain into four parts. Front left cortex is a part of you that is really good at lists and accomplishment. Your left rear part of your brain is the two-year-old. No, wait, is that, yeah, no, left rear part of your brain is the part, it's meant to keep you safe and remembers everything that's ever happened to you, okay? Right rear part is the two-year-old who will take six flavors of ice cream out of the freezer, have a bite of each, and leave it on the counter to melt and not care. And then the right front part of your brain is that more expansive, spiritual, connected part. Well, using her methodology, I allowed the right rear part of my brain, which is meant to keep me safe, to explain why it was trying to keep me safe. Mm-hmm. And you use your two-year-old to listen. Wow. What came out was every instance of rejection I've ever experienced in my life. I mean, there were things that were meaningless, that were just buried there. And it was astonishing, just astonishing. So that dump, if you will, of experiences and having somebody to listen to it and understand it really was what helped me move through that block.
Wow. Okay. Everyone, we have to go check out this video. I think I've only heard of it. So I'm very excited. I'm very excited. That's amazing. So you have all this stuff of information and now you're able to analyze it and say, wait a second. This isn't, I don't need to fear this necessarily. The two-year-old can put that away and move forward.
It allows you to do an emotional dump and just get it off your chest, if you will, or off your mind. And in doing that, you realize how much of it is just garbage. And the times you were rejected, truly rejected? Well, you know, that's something else to explore. It's usually pretty complex. There's no black or white in anything emotional.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. I love that. And now you said something earlier that I wanted to ask. You said that you had 30 stories originally, but you've cut it down to 15. Why did you make that choice?
It would have been so big, nobody would ever read it.
It's like the tome.
Book is 268 pages, and I think that is about at the max. It's a good length.
That's good. Yeah. Okay, now, how did you make that decision? You have 30 stories. How did you know which ones you're going to go with?
It was brutal. It was absolutely brutal. But it also helped me unify the book, because I thought part of the book is I introduced some of my experiences, some of which have been pretty amazing, and how they coordinate with the story in that particular chapter. And so that helped me a little bit in terms of weeding it down. I regret some of the chapters I had to leave out, but they'll show up in another book.
And speaking of, excuse me, I'm recovering from strep throat, so sometimes my throat does make noises. Dow, you did mention you have another book. I think you mentioned to me before this you might have two other books. Can you tell me what's in the future already before we dive on to the next questions?
Bump in the Road is going to be a long series of books. I probably have enough material to do about 20 books right now.
Oh,
and
wow.
What I'm looking to do is like choose a theme like Bump in the Road, Strong Women. What are some stories about strong women? What are some of the bumps they hit? How did they manage and navigate this? And what was the outcome? What did they learn? Bump in the Road Business. I interviewed a gentleman who sold his company for $500 million and ended up broken in federal jail.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, just the whole, I have such a wide range of incredible, really heart-touching stories. I just interviewed Tina Davidson, who's an American composer, and she has a book out called Let Your Heart Be Broken. It's a beautiful book, and she's very right-brained. She's very arty and, you know, literate. And so listening to her talk, it's almost like an oral symphony, just the way she puts together ideas and concepts. It's just a beautiful discussion. So, I mean, there's just such a wide range of people and topics, and they just need to be shared because we will all benefit from each other's stories.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That's something that I think we try to hit in the podcast is whether it's nonfiction or fiction, just having your story out there. It can impact someone. It can inspire someone. It can let someone know that they're not alone. I mean, they're so powerful. Stories are, you know, in my mind, really the foundation of our society as like globally, you know, helps to connect, helps us to learn. But yeah, that's a discussion for another day. So that's amazing. I love your vision. I love your goal. Now, I would love to know more about your process. So how did you just start going about writing the stories? You know, you had your people on your show. Did you interviews? Were you kind of going off the top of your head and then sending it back to them? What was the process like?
Well, this was started before AI was everywhere, so I had to get all the transcripts transcribed. And I did that, and I learned a lot doing that, actually, because what happens is you can have a conversation with somebody, and it can bounce all over the place. It doesn't have complete sentences, but it makes total sense to the listener because that's how we communicate. Yeah. But that may not translate into a book. Mm-hmm. So part of the process of elimination actually was looking at people who perhaps had a little bit more of a linear conversational style because it would translate into the book, because the book includes excerpts from the podcast.
Oh.
And actually there's an online component to the book where you can go and listen to behind-the-scenes aspects of the podcast, hear the original discussion. And there's a workbook that goes along with the book. If you want to sort of think about how this applies to your own life.
Wow. I love that. And that's very cool that you bring that out, because I often talk about dictation. I use dictation a lot. I learned dictation when I had a spine injury and then I couldn't sit at my desk anymore. So I've leaned heavily into it. And that is one of the things I noticed, because people ask me questions today about like, how can you get better at it? Like, well, first you can't talk really how you talk in a conversation, because we're always going back and forth. Yeah. We're putting, you know, parts of sentences in front of the other parts. So we don't really want to talk that way. And it's funny that you kind of have to figure out what's the story? You know, where are we here first on the big picture? And then you can start whittling into like structure and line editing and things like that. But first, when it comes to talking, that's kind of like a whole other beast.
Oh, yeah. It really is. And I think that going forward, I'm working on the second book now, mostly structurally. I'm mulling it over because I want the structure of the second book to go along with all the other books that follow. And that's one of the things I'm working on is maybe I should retell everybody's story so that they always sound literate, have a few quotes, because I don't want to ignore anybody. There's one gentleman I have in mind who's wonderful. He's warm and friendly and giving. He has a heavy accent, and he is, in terms of sentence structure, there is none. But his story is wonderful. So those are the sorts of things you have to wrestle with in terms of how do you translate that into a meaningful story in a book.
Yeah, oh, that's great. I think that's such a beautiful endeavor that you're on. You're sharing these people's stories. You're a medium for, you know, their voices, and that is so great. You're uplifting and empowering those voices.
You know what it is? We all have the same emotions, right? Now, we may have different experiences, and we're all unique, but our emotions are the same. So if somebody gets slammed with, say, isolation, that's something we can all relate to. How did they get through it? What did they do? Maybe somebody goes through a set of experiences where they absolutely lose their identity. That's a tough one. And it happens to a lot of people. You can get lost in that. But when you start hearing stories of how people dealt with it, it is really incredibly helpful, I think, in realizing, one, you're not alone, and two, there are ways through these bumps.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and it really comes back to like, you know, hey, yeah, you're not alone. Here's a story to connect you, to connect me. We're connecting each other. We're human. We're all human. Yeah. Now, I would love to know, you know, since you're already working on the next book, what mistakes did you make with the first one that you're carrying over to the next one? You're like, okay, I learned that. Now I'm going to make sure, you know, I could tackle that in the next book.
Yeah, actually, and I'm still going back and making some changes to the first book. One of the things I learned is the importance of really strong editing and very strong copywriting, particularly for spelling errors and grammatical errors and things like that. I think that is an essential piece of it. Also, I think the importance of the cover. I'm probably going to be changing the cover of Bump, but I also want a cover that will be consistent to some degree, you know, through the series. So that's requiring a little bit of thought. And those are maybe cosmetic changes, but they're important changes.
Yeah. Okay, that's very cool. And speaking of, you are independently published. You know, what was that learning for you? You know, did you have an independent publishing experience beforehand? Was this totally brand new to you?
I did a lot of homework and research, and I read the contracts. First of all, you're not going to get a major publishing house unless you're a celebrity. So just write that one off. It's not even available. Secondly, then you're down to either self-publishing or using a publisher or a hybrid arrangement. I have 80,000 followers across my social media platforms. So I have a little bit of a base. And I have a little bit of knowledge about online marketing, although I'm always learning. It's always changing. So when I read the contracts, and I talked to several publishers, too, about exactly what they would do for me, it was less than I was already doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted most of the profits for doing that. And if you get an agent actually will make more money in your book than you will.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look across the publishing industry, there are a lot of very well-known authors who actually have published in all sorts of fashions. They've gone with big publishing houses. They've done it independently. They've done hybrid models. Anything goes anymore. And I think that for the majority of people, particularly new to publishing, the reality is marketing the book is going to be on you. No publisher is going to do it for you. If for me, because I'm reasonably web literate when it comes to websites and things like that, I can go in and make my own changes. I have a tech guy that helps me with things above my pay grade. So I can manage a website. If you go with a publisher, they're in control of all that. You're dependent upon them. They may or may not respond. And I've talked to so many authors who have been really disappointed with their relationship with their publisher. So I decided to go my own way.
Yeah. No, I love that. That is so important. You know, making that decision for yourself, you know, what exactly do you want from your book? What do you want from your work? How much control do you want? I mean, and it's so true. There's so many things I'm learning about the publishing industry today. And it can just be, you know, quite a wild field, you know, if you kind of don't know what you really want, you know. Some people really want the traditional publishing deal just because, you know, that's what they really want, but it comes with a lot of different caveats. Or they want to do hybrid publishing, but you also got to look out for certain types of, you know, publishing companies out there that, it's just like you said, you're doing more than they would even offer you. I mean, it's so true. It's so true. It's just, it's an interesting landscape, I feel like, because it's so new in a way that those rules and regulations, you know, a lot of people don't really know what to expect. You know, when you go to like a gym, you kind of know what you're getting versus when you're in the publishing world, you know, it's still so kind of new. You're like, well, what am I getting here? What am I getting there? That's a lot to learn. And that's cool that you like, you saw this information and you were like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and tackle this. That's awesome.
Well, I think you have to read the contracts. That's really important. Read the contract and make sure you understand it. If you don't, get some help to understand it, because you need to know what you're getting into. You need to know what your responsibilities are, what the publishers are. And I think that's just ground zero, really, for this whole thing.
And asking questions, you know, being like, what does this mean? Why this? Why this? You know, and if that person doesn't even want to give you that information, that's already like, okay, let's pivot. Let's go a different direction. Was there ever a point when you were learning the self-publishing journey that you felt perhaps overwhelmed, or you felt like, you know, maybe this is going to be harder than I thought, you know, and how did you tackle those moments?
Actually, I think book launch was the most overwhelming, because you're pushing really hard to get that Amazon bestseller, you know, status within, you know, that first month or whatever.
Yeah.
So that you've put all this effort into it. You're really pushing. You have to hit those numbers. And then after that, man, I was exhausted. I was like, I need a break.
Oh, I bet. Did you treat yourself? Did you do something, go on vacation, something like that?
I didn't go on vacation, but I bought an absolutely drop-dead, over-the-top, gorgeous, boiled alpaca jacket
Dive
for. Yeah.
You're like, all right, big spender, let's do this. That's good. That's good. And in your opinion, I would love to know, how did you feel about your momentum for the book launch? Did you feel like you were like, yes, I did a good job? Did you feel like you were a little bit disappointed? And then how did you deal with these new emotions?
Well, that's a really good question. I think I did a pretty good job. I think I could do better next time, obviously. It's a process. You have to really, unfortunately, it's hard, because on the one hand, you have to just scream and yell and wave your arms in front of people these days to get anybody's attention. Everyone's busy. Their inbox is full. They may not even read their email and just zap it. So trying to get somebody's attention is hard, and yet you have to repeatedly be in front of them to get their attention. So you have to balance that out, because you don't want to be annoying, but you do want to get your message across. That's a really hard one to try to balance out. And now the book published in mid-September. Now I'm looking at it and I'm going back and revisiting it and integrating it into a bigger marketing plan.
Oh, cool. Okay, that's great. So you gave yourself that pat on the back that said, you know, I did good, but also, here, I have some lessons. I'm carrying them forward.
Oh, absolutely. I think this is a continual learning process.
Yeah.
Which really is part of the fun, actually.
Yes, I love that. It's part of the fun. I thank you for saying it that way, because sometimes we're like, oh, it's like it can be overwhelming. But no, it's part of the fun.
Well, I like to write. So for me, I find if I can just have an idea or know where more or less where I want to go, I'll just sit down and start writing, and it'll come together. It may need a few, a few revisions. It always needs a few revisions, but that's okay.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for sharing that. It's always good to come back to the core of like, enjoy writing, you know, have fun with it.
Yeah.
Now, I have a question about your guests that are kind of starred inside your book. When you were kind of collecting these stories, did you ever feel like maybe they themselves had maybe like a writer's block, or they were afraid, or they didn't know that maybe they have confidence in their story? Did you ever hit that with the people that you were starring in your book?
No, not really. And I'm just thinking for a moment, because this is their life. They've lived it. And they're willing to share it, and they're willing to share how these bumps have influenced them. So there isn't hesitancy there. I would say overall, I am really impressed with the transparency with which people tell their stories, warts and everything.
Yeah, thank you. Now, we are getting close to our time here, but before we tell everyone where they can find you and where they can find your books, was there anything that you would love to share with our audience that we hadn't hit yet, whether that's a motivational tip, whether that's something that you learned? Please share.
Motivational tip. Perseverance is everything.
100% agree. Blood, sweat, and tears. And you know what? And that's that actually leads me to the second question. How did you maintain your perseverance?
Quite honestly, this just flowed out of me, and I wanted to do the best job on it I could. I love my guests. I love my podcast, and so I love my book, my imperfect book, which is I'm still fussing with. But I just love the stories, and I just feel so strongly about the wisdom that needs to be shared that just supersedes any minor bumps in terms of getting a book out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Now, Pat, will you please let everyone know where can they find you and your wonderful work and podcast?
Bumpintheroad.us. The book is on Amazon, and there's lots of information about the book on the website. We're on YouTube, we're on Spotify, on Apple, we're on all the major platforms. But actually, the website is the best place to start, bumpintheroad.us.
Great. Thank you so much. That is Pat Wetzel. Pat Wetzel, thank you again from the How to Write a Book podcast. This has been a pleasure. It's been a joy to have you and also to hear about the amazing stories, the amazing people that you're sharing. And I encourage everyone, go get a copy of Bump in the Road, 15 Stories of Courage, Hope, and Resilience by Pat Wetzel. Again, Pat, we would love to have you back when you get the next book out there. I mean, I'm sure it'll be another game changer. Thank you. Thank you from the How to Write a Book podcast. We appreciate it.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of the How to Write a Book podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy the conversation. If you want to keep up with me and my work, check out the website, blackheartedstudios.com. That's www.blackheartedstudios.com. And follow me on Instagram at Maciel Writes. That's at Maciel Writes. As a book coach and publisher, I'm passionate about helping aspiring authors bring their stories to life. So if you've been dreaming of writing a book and don't know where to start, head to my website and let's chat. You get a free 30 minutes on me. Thanks again for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. I'll see you in the next episode. Thanks.